Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Some say God's will for us is prosperity and happiness. For Jesus, God's will meant unimaginable suffering, both in Gethsemane and on the cross of shame. Today, why we must also do the will of God, no matter what. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. In a series simply called For Us, Erwin Lutzer is helping us relive the events that marked the end of Jesus' life on earth. We're with Jesus in the garden, where, despite his agony, he does the will of the Father.
Sometimes we have to do the will of God whether we feel like it or not. I've already implied that, haven't I? The fact is that the will of God isn't often the easiest path. We live in a society where, you know, you make the easy decision to take out all of the pain. If Jesus had done that, you and I would still be in our sins, and we'd be in our sins forever. There are times when you have to say no to your emotions. Let me ask the question differently. Was Jesus Christ filled with the Holy Spirit in Gethsemane? We know that the Holy Spirit of God came upon him when he was, of course, there being baptized, and the Spirit was with him, and the Spirit did miracles. Did the Spirit leave him in Gethsemane? No, not in Gethsemane. The Spirit was there. He was still Spirit-filled. Did that mean that he was happy all the time? No. You can be filled with the Spirit, and you can be walking through a dark tunnel of bewilderment and pain and anxiety and dread. Jesus proves that we don't always have to feel right to do the will of God. See, you and I live in a culture in which the great sin is to feel bad. That's really a sin. You should never feel bad about yourself. And if you feel bad, there are pills that you can take, and there's this to take. And I'm not knocking medicine as such, but what I'm saying is there are times when you don't feel good, but you can be filled with the Spirit and do the right thing. Now, to add to this, we always think to ourselves that if I obey, I want to obey because I feel like it. So if I get the right feeling, I will obey, when actually the opposite is true. There are times when we have to obey even when we don't feel like it, and then eventually we find that the feelings follow, and what we sought becomes ours. That was true also in the case of Jesus, because this is what Hebrews says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. The joy set before him. Jesus knew that having gone through drinking that terrible cup, Jesus knew that after he drank it on the other side, there was going to be a resurrection. On the other side, there was going to be joy. On the other side, there was going to be a group of redeemed people with whom he would be forever. And on the other side, he would be hailed as King of Kings and Lord of Lords because he is, but also because of his obedience, and he'd be magnified throughout the whole earth. But you don't see that when you're going through Gethsemane, do you? Can't predict the outcome. Jesus knew the outcome, but we don't. But sometimes you just need to make a hard choice. There may be some of you here who are in a sinful relationship, and you say, Pastor Lutzer, I just can't tear myself away from it. Oh, yes, you can. You can do the right thing no matter how you feel as you call on the Holy Spirit to help you. There's a second lesson, and that is that it's very obvious that our own suffering even when it is inflicted by evil people, ultimately comes to us from God. Jesus knew that wicked hands were going to crucify him, and those wicked hands who spat on him and humiliated him. Jesus knew that that was part of the divine plan. It was part of the cup. It was part of what God willed for him. And that's why he said, "If I be lifted up, I shall draw all men to me." What he was saying is that this is part of God's will, and I will accept the nails, and I will accept the insults. Because they mean it for evil. There's no doubt about it. I mean, you can imagine the glee of Satan and the glee of those who hated Jesus to see him nailed there. I'm sure that many people walked by. Oh, it was just so great to see him up there because he was such an irritant. They meant it for evil. God comes along and turns it all around and means it for good. Many years ago, I was preaching at a church in the suburbs, and the pastor handed me a poem. I don't know the author of the poem, but here it is. "I will not take that bitter thrust which rent my heart today as coming from an earthly soul, though it was meant that way. But I will look beyond the tool because my life is planned. I take the cup my Father gives. I take it from his hand. He knows and even thus allows these terrible things that irk. I trust his wisdom and his love. Let patience have her work. Though human means have brought the sting, I firmly take this stand. My loving Father holds the cup. I take it from his hand." Now those who watch may wonder why these things do not disturb. I look right past the instrument and see my Lord superb. The trial which would lay me low must pass through his command. He holds the outstretched cup to me. I take it from his hand. If you, my dear Christian friend, see only your trials, whether it's physical difficulties or people inflicting harm on you, if you see that only as coming from the devil, you will become cynical and bitter. But when you see it as part of God's plan, that you receive it from his hand, you can walk through whatever lies on your path. There's a final lesson. Sin, you know, is the most expensive thing in the universe. You know that. Nothing comes close to it. That's why redemption was so costly, is because sin is so costly. Someone made a very interesting observation about obedience. The first Adam in the garden, he said, "God, my will and not thine." And he turned paradise into a desert. The second Adam, Jesus Christ, comes along and says, "Not my will, but thine." And he's the one who takes the deserts of life and turns them into paradise. It is always best to be obedient to God. It is never wise to fight God. Well, the message is almost over, so I want to have a personal talk with you. It's just between us now and wherever you may be seated or wherever you may be listening to this message. At what point are you fighting God? Some of you know that you need to receive Jesus as your Savior. God has worked in your life, and he's brought you, and you've heard messages, and you've read the Word, and you've met other believers, and you know it in your heart, but there's something that stands between you and God. At what point are you going to say, "I'm going to obey, because this business of cutting God out of my life is a bad idea"? Some of you are believers, but you're walking distantly from God. And issues have piled up in your life that you haven't been willing to deal with. And you know that if you are absolutely, fully right with God, if you are actually able to say, as we sang together, "All that I am, I give into your hand. You know right well that on the computer of your soul would crop up all kinds of issues. Yeah, but what about this? What about this? What about this? Why don't we just take our what about thises and give them to God? Why don't we just say, not my will, but thine be done? Why don't we just lay down the weapons of a rebel and say, Jesus in Gethsemane is our model, not my will, but thine be done. It's not what I would choose, but hey, I'm not God. And because of Jesus Christ's obedience, you and I today can walk away free. Guilty, but acquitted. Separated from God, brought near. Ousted from the family of God, now a son, now a daughter. All because our hero, Jesus, our Savior, said, not my will, but thine be done. Could I ask you something? Can you and I say any less than that? Let's pray. We ask now, Father, that you will give us such a sense of being willing to say your will be done. May it overcome all the barriers, all the excuses, all of the rationalizations. Just come into our lives and may all that end. And before I close this message, are there those of you who are here today who say, Pastor Lutzer, today, despite the battle, I'm saying, thy will be done. Would you raise your hands, please? Would you raise your hands? You're willing to say, despite the battle, God has talked to me. Your will be done. I see many people in the lower auditorium. I haven't seen, haven't had a chance to look at the balcony. Would you raise your hand and say, thy will be done? Father, work in our lives, we pray, until there's no daylight between your will and ours. It's all one and the same. And thank you for our Redeemer who modeled that kind of obedience. We love him, and we love you. Amen. Hi, this is Pastor Lutzer. Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ chose to go through with it? He said, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, thy will be done. And you and I have to say the very same. God could change things, yes, but nevertheless, thy will be done. May we bow to that today for his glory.
Erwin Lutzer, wrapping up Jesus is in Agony, the first message in a series he's calling For Us. Next time, we meet Judas as we see Jesus betrayed for us. For Us is a five-part series we'd like you to have on CD. It's our gift to you in gratitude for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.